I'm thankful. And I'm thankful for you guys, Gay Talk 2.0.
I'm thankful for bourbon.
And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the Electoral College. Not.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast. It is Trans Awareness Month, and to celebrate, we have invited Drea Richard to the show, a successful businesswoman who is also transgender. We will have more on Drea after our first segment of the show. But before we get into her, we're going to jump into our first segment. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Tom. I am your host with the most. I haven't said that in a while. That's fantastic.
With the most. I don't know.
Fuck her.
She's got a lot. But
there's a lot. Trust me. But, you know, I don't do this by myself. Never have. Never will, probably. So let me introduce to you guys my compadres, my partners in crimes, ladies in crimes, because there's many crimes.
Many crimes.
Ladies and gentlemen, the first one.
Hey, y'all. Nick or Trish.
Yes, queen. Good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And we're jumping into
The Dish.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to another fantastic show. So much to cover. So much has happened this week.
Before we even go into that, I think
we need to talk about Long Island.
Yeah, we need to just put it out there so you know why we are how we are.
Tonight.
Exactly.
I want to explain that we're going to go to our cocktail right away today.
I think so.
Because we missed it last week.
We did.
We didn't even announce our cocktail last week.
But you know what? Last week was a really good time.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Hans, thank you so much for being on with us. We really enjoyed you. He was like really cool guy. I'm hoping to see him when I'm out there.
We've had a lot of interesting guests. We've had, you know, Melissa Etheridge. We've had Dan Savage. We've had Christine W. We've had many, many amazing guests. Eric Ransom is always on the show with us. I have to tell you, I really enjoyed Hans.
Yeah, Hans was a cool guy.
Really did.
He was fun.
He was like, chipper. It's the middle of the goddamn night here.
Yes, I thought that was great. So, you know, thank you. Thank you for calling in and giving us the opportunity to chat with you regarding your book.
So, speaking of chat, before we lose our speech, yeah, we'll touch the cocktail. Today, we're being garbage people.
Why are we being garbage people, Chris?
Because we sipping on Long Island iced teas.
But I will say this. It is with premium liquor.
Right. So,
we don't do the well liquor.
Right. Long Island iced teas. True garbage people. Bernie Hands came out again. But... you know, it is a classic cocktail, so we like to put the classic ones out there. So the Long Island iced tea consists of, I say 3/4 ounce, of vodka, rum, gin, tequila, and triple sec, all the white liquors. Mm-hmm. You add a little, we're using ripe sour lemon juice, which was made in Wallingford, all natural. You shake that up, and then you top it off with Coke, garnish with a lemon.
And drink.
And we just made our second one, and I'm like, yes. I got to stop after this.
Yeah, no, this is it for me. I'm like, I'm loopy as hell right now. I can't.
We have a guest on the show, as we said before. Drea Richard is going to join us, and I don't even know what condition we're going to be in about 20 minutes.
Wait, hold on. Time out. I'm not done with Long Island, because I have a story, and you have a story, but I want to hear your story first. So I haven't had a Long Island since my story. Now, Tommy, tell me about yours.
Okay, so... I haven't had a Long Island since 2000. Well, actually, it was 1999.
I was fucking 7.
It was 1999, and we were just about to cross over into the year 2000. Y2K was all the rage. People were saying, oh, my God, the world is going to end, et cetera, et cetera. So I went to the bank, and I literally left $5 in my bank account. I took everything out, and I remember... we had gone to a bar in New Haven. I won't mention the name because I can't stand the owner. But it was the only big happening bar at the time. So we went to the bar, and I remember I got there at 11. And by the time midnight came, I had 5 Long Island iced teas.
Oh, God, girl.
Oh, yes. How?
I woke up 3 days later in a stranger's bed. Wait. I slept for 3 days. in a stranger's bed. I think somebody roofied my drink with four dogs literally just watching over me.
And you literally slept for 3 days?
I did. I woke up 3 days later. Supposedly, I got up. I went to the bathroom. I purged. I ate soup.
with your fucking eyes closed or something?
I don't know what happened. So listen, this guy named Roger, and I haven't seen Roger in many years, but I'm very thankful because had it been someone else, I woke up in his house. And literally, the man took care of me for 3 days, and he literally nursed me back to health. And he said to me, you know, you have not literally consciously woken up in days. And I was scared. And you were walking outside of the bar looking for your car, and you were literally on top of my hood.
You're a goddamn mess.
I was horrible. And he threw me in his car and brought me to his house in the northest... in the northernmost part of the state of Connecticut. And I woke up and I looked around and I had four dogs on a bed with me. And I'm like, what the fuck?
So it was kind of like train wreck when she wrote, whoa, when she woke up and she was like, where am I? Long Island City.
I literally, the first thing I did was grab my butthole and make sure that it wasn't hurting, it wasn't sore. And to be honest with
priorities.
You. Priorities, seriously. I honestly believe that this man did not do anything to me, that this man truly cared and nursed me back to health.
That's amazing.
And for the next, I believe, 8 years, 8 or 9 years, I kept seeing Roger out and about, and I would always be very thankful to him. I said, I would never do that again. And till this day, I have never done that again.
So who the fuck's going to take care of you tonight? Because I got to go.
Yeah,
like, I got shit to watch.
So yeah, we're having Long Island iced teas, and that's my story. And you know, I'm having flashbacks.
Here's my story. Stand
Brace
by.
Yourself.
It's really so not fucking... as bad. I mean, like, I didn't wake up 3 days later. I'm not a Tommy, but. But no, so I was on a cruise. It was with my best friend's family. Who
don't tell me you fell overboard.
No, they're basically like my second family. So I was on this cruise and I was out with my best girlfriend who got married this summer. And she was like, let's have Long Island tonight. I was like, okay. So they had this thing. It was like a traveling competition thing. So you go and you sit in this karaoke, and then there was a next step, and you go throughout the entire boat. So I had probably two Long Islands when I started this competition. And I wasn't going to be involved in it. I just wanted to watch. But so I got involved. I got on stage and I won the first part of the competition. So I had to advance and I went to the next part. There are four parts. By the fourth part, I was grinding on a Muslim woman.
Oh my God.
Surrounded by basically 75% of the boat, watching me dance on top of her. To a Spice Girls song.
Oh my God, which one?
I don't remember which one it was.
You're having Long Island.
If you
want to
be
okay.
My lover.
Probably. And then I had the last, and it was down to me and this other girl. She was a black girl. And the last part of the competition was a booty shaking contest.
And
was,
you know, Nick's got booty.
Yeah. I dropped that shit like it's hot. The boat voted for me. I got the Carnival Cruise trophy, bitch. Rich. I won it.
You better work.
Clap for Trish.
Never again did I have a Long Island until tonight.
You know, it's. I said that I hadn't had one since I was one night I had two Long Islands and I was 20. But actually, the last time I had a Long Island before tonight, I was on a cruise as well. I went on it 2-3 years ago. And
by the way, the cruise was to Canada, Chris, just so you know.
Bitch, mine was a fucking Caribbean. I'm jealous.
Oh, wait a minute. So you literally got so drunk in Canada and they didn't ban you from going back to that country?
No, because I wasn't either. Driving. I was on a boat.
Oh, okay.
I'm on a boat. So I was on a cruise going to the Caribbean, and I'd like grew up on boats, so I was surprised motion sickness got me. And I woke up the first morning so sick. Like, I couldn't fucking do it. So we went to the...
He's all like, it's gotta be the boat. No, honey. It was the Long Island.
No. The Long Island didn't happen yet.
Okay,
this is
wait.
Actually where I'm thinking.
I have to say something really quick. So Chris posted on Facebook.
Oh, shit.
This posting.
I gotta stop posting when I'm drunk.
Burping, right? And he goes like, one shot of bourbon a day will like literally prolong your life. And I'm like, Chris, that's one shot, not the whole fucking bottle. Like we did last week and we ended up like completely obliviated. But
I'm still learning.
Yeah, he's like, Chris, it said one shot. I'm like, sorry, I'm still learning.
Okay, so anyway, go back.
We went to the little shop, one of the shops that they have in the store on the ship to try to get some Dramamine or something like that because I forgot my medicine.
The boat, Chris. The boat.
It's a ship.
Ship. Yes.
It's a ship.
Something that moves in the water.
I said, anywho, so they, for some reason, did not have Dramamine, but they had those little bracelets that you put on.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I only put one on and I put it on my right hand and we went to one of the bars and I was like, I'm not drinking. And the drink of the day was a Long Island and someone finally convinced me to have one. So I grabbed
it. 5 minutes later, she had a Long Island.
I had a Long Island in my hand. I finished the whole thing and all of a sudden I'm like, no, see, I feel so much better. It's because of this. But I was holding it up with the hand that had the bracelet on, but I'm also holding the Long Island in front of me. So I'm like, no, the bracelet helped me. And they're like, oh no, girl, something else helped you there.
Yeah.
I was good the rest of the cruise.
It's definitely the Long Island. Well, it's always that first day. You know, I'm not one to get seasick. And I went on a friend's boat.
Me neither.
The last time. Actually, yeah. Trish was with me. And I got so sick at the end of it because we stopped literally halfway through. It was July 4th. And we're watching the fireworks. And all of a sudden, the boat starts rocking. And we're not moving. My stomach started going brrrr. It was horrible.
I had no idea you were seasick.
I wanted to throw up.
I know. You told me after the fact. And I'm like, well, I had no idea. I was like holding you and taking photos with you. And you were just like about to throw up the whole
time.
You're
like, cheers. I'm exactly. Like, I'm dying.
I'm like, selfie. And Tommy's like,
oh, it was horrible. It was
Didn't you get seasick on the, or not? Well, you didn't get sick. But
I did.
When we were in New York?
On the first one. No, but not with you.
I knew there was some connection.
It was weird because I've never gotten seasick before. And all of a sudden, it's like I'm going on these boats and I'm like, what the hell is going on? Maybe it's all the fat. I don't know.
No.
But we have breaking news. It sounds like the same but. Now there's just it's actually been reported about an hour ago there's been another earthquake in Japan.
Oh yeah, that was the one.
In the Fukushima area and there's a tsunami warning and there's a possibility that, you know, we could have some significant damage. We hope not. The last time we had a tsunami in that area, you guys know that, you know, the Fukushima plant was compromised,
yes.
And there was a lot of radiation that was released. It was pretty dire situation. So we're praying for the people of Japan, and hopefully nothing as grave as the last time we had a significant earthquake in that area. Mm-hmm. Happens.
Definitely.
So I'm just going to lighten the mood a little bit.
Okay, just a little bit.
I'm going to read you something, and then I just want you to feed off it.
What are you reading?
All right. Well, Vice President-elect Pence, welcome. Thank you for joining us at Hamilton, an American musical. We are the diverse America who are alarmed and anxious that your new administration will not protect us, our planet, our children, our parents, or defend us and uphold our inalienable rights. We hope the show has inspired you to uphold our American values and work on behalf of all of us. Thank you.
That was Brandon Victor Dixon, one of the cast members from
Hamilton.
And you know what? There has been such a backlash from Trump supporters regarding this to the point where they're now trying to boycott the show. And I'm like, bitch, this fucking show is sold out for the next 2 years.
You're fucked either way.
Good fucking luck.
I know. You can't get a ticket.
I love that when they called the boycott and they're like, okay, good luck. Start that boycott halfway through your presidency.
Because even if you are a Trump supporter and you have tickets already, you have tickets for like 6 months from now, you're like, yeah, there's a boycott, but I'm definitely
I'm still going to go. Yeah.
Yeah. And, hey, well, check this out. Here's the thing.
Tally it up.
I almost tallied you up for that. Anyway.
They are boycotting the wrong motherfucking show. They're boycotting the Chicago show. Meanwhile,
In New York.
I was like,
it happened in New York.
Wait, they're boycotting the tour?
They're boycotting the tour.
They're so stupid.
Thank you. There's a reason why the word deplorable fits you nicely.
Even if you boycott the tour in Chicago, it's just going to move on, honey. They only have a couple dates there. Like, please.
So, you know, here's the thing.
Tally it up.
The Hamilton cast did not refuse Mike Pence service. They didn't do that.
No, they weren't rude at all.
They weren't rude. They were very respectful and they said, you know, Mr. whatever your name is, here's what we think, and you are a public official. You should expect that when you are in public, someone is going to address you regarding a political stance.
Yeah.
That just happens.
No, completely. And he was saying, like, I said to my daughter and her cousins, you know, we got booed. You know, that is freedom at its best. No, you got booed because you're in New York, and New York's a blue state, and aware of what you stand for. You got booed because you're a douchebag, and you want to say that you got some applause. You got some applause. You got disrespected by the audience. You did not get disrespected by the cast.
Right.
They were the respectful. Cast, what they said to you as a VP elect is what you should be standing for.
Right. And exactly. And Mike Pence was not the one who was, you know, appalled by it or felt.
It was fucking Donald.
Yeah, it was Donald. It was President-elect Trump.
Listen, it's not like he's fucking, you know, it's not like he's a fucking gay couple trying to buy a fucking wedding cake in Indiana or anything.
Exactly.
Like that. Okay? But, which, by the way, you know, if you guys haven't been keeping track of Mike Pence's record, he has the worst LGBT record in history because he has passed more legislation in his state against the LGBT community than any other state
in the
union.
And he's not stepping down.
No,
he's not stepping down as VP right now. He's staying so that he can go to court to try to get his emails.
Yeah,
his fucking emails secured and private and not public.
Yes.
Are you fucking kidding me, Pence?
Yes, and Hillary had to sit through a 12-hour deposition in Congress to talk about her emails.
You know what?
Whatever.
As Betty White said, it wasn't harassment, Pence. That's just dressing room talk.
Pretty exactly. Much. That was awesome. Yes, Miss Betty White.
Oh, wait.
There it is. I thought that was amazing. Yes, it was.
# Betty White knows best.
I love Betty. I freaking love Betty. No, listen. The fact is that, you know, this man, Donald, because he's really the one that's calling for, you know, the cast members to apologize.
There's
nothing to apologize for because they did nothing wrong. You are a public official, and as such, you should expect to be addressed anywhere that you go.
You know what? Honestly, I think Pence should apologize.
I think so, too.
For being there.
Well, anyway, piggybacking. True. That is true, but somebody must have given him the tickets. I wonder
who it was.
He
finally got some history lessons.
Unfortunately, it's not going to help him. But I have a story. So meanwhile, in
Canada.
No.
Oh, because I had Germany. Meanwhile in Canada ready.
Midtown Atlanta.
You have to like tell us where this fucking thing is.
Meanwhile, we're all like just
went to Canada. So listen. So the Crown Plaza Hotel in Midtown Atlanta, right? Someone has been projecting onto the building, fuck Trump.
Wait, in Atlanta?
In Atlanta.
I think it's a theater company.
The Crown Plaza Hotel. Someone's projecting fuck Trump on it. And basically the police department is like, well, we can't do anything about it because they're not breaking the law.
They're not.
He's not the president. Well, it's still not even breaking the law.
Well, but
even
if he was,
we still have freedom of speech in this country.
It's not a threat.
As of current, we still have freedom of speech.
Yes, as of current, as of right now. It's just crazy to think that, you know what? We're living in an age in where why do I always feel the innate need to call people gentlemen? This fucking asshole, Donald Trump.
Just so we're clear, I never thought you had an innate need to call anyone a gentleman.
I do that all the time, though. You guys correct me. He's not a gentleman. He's an asshole.
A monster.
He's a monster. So this asshole, who we call Trump, I really don't understand why we as a people, as one of the best countries in the world, gave this man the keys to our government.
You know what I'm starting to feel like, though, to be honest? Like,
I'm still thinking we're punked.
Well, that might be the case. Like,
I'm waiting
Ashton Kutcher, where are you?
Show up, bitch.
Be like, hey, y'all, you punked. It's actually Hillary. But no, that's not going to happen. Yeah, but no. I'm like, I sit back and I'm looking at this and I'm like, this man, he has no idea what he's doing. I mean, asking for security clearance for his kids. I mean, having his kids be his confidants because he doesn't trust anyone else. And his daughter's husband being...
Oh, there's a lot there's a lot of backstory. Conflicts of issues. Did you know that, Chris Christie prosecuted that kid's father?
Yes, I know all about that. And they're not putting... He's not putting the company in a blind trust, blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the day, he has no idea what the fuck he's doing. I honestly, if you didn't watch SNL, I think he's sitting in the... you know, wherever the fuck he's sitting. And he's like, by the way, Pence, you're doing this all right? You're going to just take care of this?
You got this, right?
Right, yeah. Because I have no idea what I'm going to do. Yeah. Okay. All right.
I actually fear Mike Pence more than I would.
I completely agree. It's unfortunate that we can't hope that like something happens to him because Pence is much worse.
Pence is much worse. But the thing with Pence is, you know, he's horrible, and I would never ever want him to be in a position that he's already in. But he understands the system. Trump does not. Trump has no idea. Trump has no idea how to keep our country afloat. At least Pence could do that. Pence could keep our country afloat. Would he tear down all of the civil rights that we've been pushing forward in our country? Yes, he would try.
Yeah, you bet your ass.
But we have, hopefully, the possibility of the Congress and Senate fighting back.
Well, here's the thing. No, my thing is this. Listen, with Donald Trump, at least we know that there's a flip-flop situation and where we can say maybe he won't do it, maybe he will. We know what we're getting with Pence. So please do not assassinate Donald Trump.
No. Yeah. Oh. No, please. Please don't.
Just let him ride out the 4 years because you know what? At the end of the day... When shit comes up to his desk and he has to sign it, there is a slight chance that he might flip-flop on it.
Well, he's going to be like, what am I signing?
Am I signing this?
It's pronounced China.
I will say on CNN, I'll cite CNN, I saw possible picks, and I explained this to you guys, possible picks for his upcoming cabinet. And Tulsi Gabbard, a representative from Hawaii, is a possible choice. Yeah, from all the way from Aloha.
Which is great. Hawaii. And why is it great, Chris?
Because Tulsi, she was, you know, in the general election, she voted for Hillary Clinton. But during the primaries, and even after the primaries, she was still a diehard Bernie Sanders political revolutionary progressive woman.
Right.
Like, fighting for progressiveness. So the fact that they're actually... considering bringing in someone so liberal and progressive may be a gesture of unification that, yeah, we're not going to grab everyone with our conservative hands and their balls. Like, we have to kind of balance the playing field out a lot, or a bit. I mean, so that's where I'm a little bit, you know, sitting back and interested to see where this Trump campaign is going to get going to. So.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, I think it's important that we, you know, unite the people. But at the same time, I mean, you can tell, but just Trump's campaign, the amount of people that he fired through the process, there's nobody that's going to stay in his cabinet for the entire 4 years because he's not going to go past 4 years.
Look at Chris Christie. He originally thought he was going to be vice president.
Well,
that didn't happen. He originally was told he's going to take the transition,
But Chris Christie
was
the prosecutor for his son-in-law's.
Right.
Yeah, so that's the only reason why that he
as soon as it was cemented, Chris Christie was out. And we know for a fact that the fact that he prosecuted Ivanka's husband's father is the reason why he's no longer on the transition team. They want to play it off like it's cool and all, but no.
So Ivanka's his daughter. Mm-hmm. His wife,
Melania.
Did you read that Melania and is it Donald Trump Jr.? Who's the youngest son?
They don't want to move into.
They're not going to move into the White House.
Yeah,
they're not officially saying.
Right, they're not officially, but it was an article that she felt that it was better for the son to stay in New York so he can go to this $40,000 a year school.
It doesn't matter. Well, you're going to motherfucking Washington, D.C. You want it to be
you're the first
president
fucking
of the U.S.?
It's the thing. I mean, he's the fucking president. If he wants to stay in New York, he's going to stay in New York. But the resources, the money, what they're gonna have to block off. I mean, he is...
They should
the
not
Trump
do
Tower
that.
Is the center of the center.
It's the epicenter
not
of Manhattan.
The epicenter. The heart of our democracy is in Washington, D.C. That has been established.
And you need to get your frumpy orange ass to D.C.
Mm-hmm. and stay there. get away from your business. No, you're not going to stay in Trump
Tower. Why it's not a blind trust when he puts his children in charge. That My is point. Collaboration. That is not a blind trust.
We're going to come back to Donald Trump because, listen, there's Fuck so her. Much. We exactly. We feel very strongly about this. Listen, guys, we are a great gay group.
And as long as we're allowed to, we're going to speak our truth.
Before we get murdered.
Or our show randomly disappears from iTunes, she's Google like, Play, like Stitcher Music.
What happened to Trish? Radio. Where's Trish?
Trish?
Fuck so her. Listen,
Trish was arrested.
We do have a guest on the show, and we're being very disrespectful. We need to get our guests on. So we need to... go into Angels and Assholes. So I'm gonna give Trish some love music. Some,
yes, queen.
Because after our break, we're gonna come back with Jerry Richard, right?
Okay. Yes. So I'm going to be honest with all of our listeners here.
We're a mess.
No, but beyond that, I did not read Angels and Assholes before this moment. So I'm gonna read this, but I cannot pronounce the names of our senators.
Oh, no, I got the names of the senators down.
Okay, do you have it? Yeah, okay, so...
Chris, you want to do it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you start.
No, you just take it. Take it, Chris.
So I have to do your sexy voice? Yes. The following senators from the state of North Dakota.
I'm so turned on right now.
Heidi,
and you're wearing pants.
You're messing me up here. I am. I'm wearing jeans today. Okay, so let's
start
this again.
Start again.
The following senators from the state of North Dakota, Heidi Heitkamp and John Hoeven...
I fucked that one up.
John Hoeven.
Both Republicans
voted no to common sense gun control reform. For their inaction, we label them assholes.
Chris, it was my first time.
I'm you proud did a good of job. You.
Give me.
You.
Yes.
Okay. I'm very proud of you.
Fuck them.
All right. And, ladies and gentlemen, because this is Angels and Assholes, we'd like to dedicate this episode to none other than our angel for this episode, Miguel Angel Honorato, 30 years old. Miguel Angel was a devoted husband, father of three sons, and a good employer. According to family and friends, Honorato, 30, lived in Apopka. I hope I said that right.
Apopka,
Florida, and managed several restaurants in the Orlando area. His cousin Christian was quoted saying that the following: he was a very kind person who went all out for his kids and for his family, and we'd like to dedicate this episode to him. So, may he rest in peace, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. This is Melissa Etheridge's Pulse. Everybody's got a pulse. Who you gonna hate now, when there's no one left but you? Who are you gonna gun down, if you can't kill the truth? That it's inside of us, it's inside our blood, it's inside of us. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win, underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win, underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win, underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse.
skin. Everybody's got a pulse.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Melissa Etheridge's Pulse. Welcome back to the show. As we said before, it is Transgender Awareness Month, and we want to welcome to the show what we would like to call our ambassador for today, ladies and gentlemen, Drea Richard, who is calling all the way from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
The capital of Pennsylvania, right, Tom?
Exactly, yeah.
Right in the middle of the Gayborhood, too.
Yes! Exactly.
So, Drea, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to have you.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me, you guys.
So I want to explain to our listeners how we know Drea. Well, Drea, we've never met personally.
No.
But Drea and I and all of us have sort of kind of had a little entanglement with the Idiots
Speak
Radio.
Speak for yourself. She's helping Trish through her transition.
Oh, Trish.
Sorry, Tommy, tell us again about the Idiots.
So the Idiots Radio has been a partner with us, someone who we look up to, someone who has helped us and has been a friend to our community. And Drea, you're really good friends with Andy Julia.
Yeah, I met Andy recently, and then I called in to the Idiots show, and then I was in studio with them last month, and they love you guys.
Let me tell you something. You were amazing, because you defended yourself well with those crazy people.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Oh, believe me. I grew up fighting straight guys all my life.
And they're not easy. And then you have Schmo, who tried to marry me in like 15 minutes with a fucking skull.
She's like, you wear my skull. You're mine now, bitch.
So tell me something. So
what's that?
How when you get a call from the Idiots Radio and you go into the Idiots, what's the first thing that goes through your mind?
Fuck.
I mean, you mean like when I first called in or when I first went into the studio to like see them?
Well, when they first, when you called in, had you met them before?
No.
Okay. So when you first went into the studio, tell me what you thought. This is interesting.
I mean, it was kind of like, okay, like, I mean, I was driving to like the, you know, some like bumblefuck New Jersey.
I know we've been there.
It's a goddamn mess.
Yeah, and then like you know, I passed it and I had to turn around and
we did know, that and he too.
And he was like, you know, I'll be in the Hers potato chip truck, just wait in the parking lot, you know. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, okay, like, well, I mean, you know, I knew that it was safe and all this, but I didn't know what I was walking into.
Andy, did you pick her up in the potato chip truck? I can't. Okay, I'm sorry, honey. Go
and then
ahead.
They wanted me to like shave Schmo's head. I was like, "Who are these people?"
Let me tell you, that has got to be one of the best episodes I have ever listened to on the Idiots Radio. Schmo was mortified.
Can I ask a more serious question, though?
Sure.
So I've been struggling a little bit with youth and transgender. I feel like because parents, I feel like the millennial parents are way more accepting of everything these days, and they're, you know, whatever you want to be you, I love you, doesn't matter. Do you think that kids that think they may or may not be transgender before they're actually through puberty should start hormones? Or do you think that it's something that maybe they just need to figure out who they are first and they're just going through a phase? Because, I mean, as a kid, I can't believe I'm saying this out loud. I put curlers in my hair and I dressed in girls' clothes, but I'm not transgender. I am a gay man. But there are a lot of kids, like one of my boyfriends, his parents for a long time called him Matt Tina because he always dressed up like a girl, but he wasn't transgender. But that's one thing that worries me a little bit. Like if kids start taking hormones because they think one thing, but they may or may not be the other. So I would love to just hear your opinion on that.
Well, I mean, the way I understand it, and believe me, I mean, we didn't have this kind of awareness when I was a kid. I mean, you know, you were told you're wrong for being who you are, and you learn how to hide pretty quickly.
Right.
the way I understand the way blockers and hormones work, before the child passes puberty, at least the male to female, they don't necessarily have to go on hormones right away, but they could go on blockers, which actually stop their puberty or slows it down. So by the time they're old enough to really make a clear decision, you know, they don't have to be slapped on hormones when they're 11 years old. They can go on the blockers that stop the puberty from happening. And then, you know, they have an easier way to go. Like, they don't have to fight with a beard, or, you know, their muscular physique changes, you know, once all the testosterone kicks in. But if it's blocked and suppressed, you know, it makes it easier. So I don't think they have to go on hormones right away.
Right. That's really interesting, because I didn't know you could just go on a blocker. I always just assumed that you had to just start taking hormones. But at the same time, is there any research behind what that blocker may do to going through the process of puberty? Does it in any way affect your hormone levels if you come off them, or?
I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. Hmm. But, you know, usually, I mean, they say, like, most people don't question their gender for long if they're confused. I mean, right. Most people don't ask that for years on end, you know, like, it right. may come up like, oh, I wonder if especially now, because it's almost like they have the option to have the discussion.
Right.
You know, where like I said, like people like me, like, you know, I wasn't really confused with where I was at. I was confused with the way the rest of the world was approaching this.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that? So we now know you as Drea Richard. Obviously, yeah. You probably were known as something else before that. Yeah. When did you know that you were ready to take that step, to take that transition?
When did I know that it was time to transition, or when did I know I was a girl?
Well, when did you know that you
both.
You were both? Yeah, both? Yes, tell us about both. If you
well,
can.
When I was 7, I told my mother I was a girl, and she said, "No, you're not." And let's see, I was 7 years old in 1980, and I mean, you know, forget it. There was you would see, like, you know, Joan Rivers' show might have like these wild sex changes that were completely 100% passable. You know, they could do it. They were like a phenomenon, right? You didn't really see trans women who weren't completely, quote, passable, right? So people weren't doing it like they are now. But I was 7. I told my mother, and I remember seeing the confusion in her face. Like, she really didn't know what to say. And it was around Halloween time, and she let me dress as a girl for Halloween. And
you sashayed up and down those streets.
No, I threw a fit because she came home with a shitty costume. It was like a dime store, you know, Woolworth girl's costume, plastic dress, plastic face. I thought that I was going to be able to be like the little girls that I went to first grade with, you know, but it was a costume. And, you know, I came out when I was 17. I started doing drag shows. I started working in gay bars. And, you know, even then it was like, you know, we didn't have the word transgender.
Right.
You were a sex change. And back then, the drag queens would say, if you want to be a woman, you need to go and be a woman. We don't have any place for you. And it was kind of harsh. Back then, I think the gay community was more worried about keeping people alive because everyone was dying from AIDS.
Right.
You know, if you tested HIV positive, it was a death sentence. And, you know, so there was no real time to deal with what do we do with these, you know, quote, sex changes. So, you know, there were a couple trans people hanging around the gay bars, but not many. You know, the queens weren't very nice to them. It was a very different time. And so I was kind of scared because I would have, you know, these drag queens telling me after the show, you wash your face, you know, you're not a woman, you're an entertainer. And, but you know, like, there would be these guys who we call them chasers, right? They would come to the drag shows because, like, you know, we didn't have internet. I mean, like, it was like kind of like primitive times. So I told the queens then, I said, you know, like, I'm supposed to be a girl. And some of them, you know, they got it. I think they were trans too, you know. But like I said, there were bigger fish to fry
right.
at that time. And one of like Philadelphia, at least first, sex changes, Rachel Harlow, told me in 1997 she would help me. And I said to her, I could never do it because I would never pass, because that was the big thing. If you weren't passable, you weren't going to be successful. At least that was the undertone.
But it almost sounds like they were trying to make it look like a job. It's not it's not a job that you're passable. It's like you are who you are.
I think it's because that's right. That's right. And you know, we have that now. You know, we have that now because of the awareness. But back then, there was no group. You know,
gays were still fighting for their rights. You know what I mean?
That's right. That's right. And so you know, I think that what they really were trying to say is you're going to have an easier time if you can just blend in and not have to tell everybody who you encounter, because you'll be safer.
And how did you feel about that?
It scared me, you know, because, you know, I mean, I did pretty good on stage. You know, my shtick was like, you know, I wasn't a comedian, drag queen. I was more, what do they say now? Fishy, right? But when it came to like, you know, can you pass in a supermarket? Can you get out of bed and go to a supermarket at 10 a.m.? And it was too scary, so I didn't do it. And, you know, like through the years, I know you guys are drinking Long Island iced teas, but I had to get I had to get sober in AA. I was a mess. When I was 27, I got sober. I went to beauty school. I opened a couple of hair salons. And, you know, I did really well. But the more work I did on myself, the more depressed I was becoming, because I was still hiding from who I am.
Right.
And last year, almost a decade into having my own hair salon, awards, I mean, all this great stuff, you know, two cars parked in the driveway, middle-aged, handsome gay male wants to kill himself every time life seems a little bit hard, you know, and it kind of kept coming back around to like, if you don't do this, you're going to check out.
Right.
And so I thought, well, you know, okay, well, I guess I'll do it. And so I did.
So when did you start the process? What year?
Last year.
Oh,
wow.
Wow.
Wow. That's amazing.
And how long from when you start the process to, you know, the end of the process, how long is that?
Well, I mean, I don't know where the finish line is. I don't know when the process really ends, you know, like everybody has their own journey with transition. I mean, you know, some people don't even go on hormones, you know, they just say, okay, I'm going to identify as
this,
you know, this,
yeah,
and, or not, you know, I went on hormones. I've had, some surgeries and, you know, just for like, because look, I'm a beauty queen. I work in the beauty industry.
Yeah,
like,
girl.
Well,
you're fabulously beautiful, and you own a very successful salon right in the center of Philly, Center City.
Can I ask you, though? I just want to ask you one thing, though. You've started this. It's been about a year. Are you happy?
Oh, my God. I'm thrilled.
We're coming up on Thanksgiving. Are you thankful for who you are now?
Oh, definitely.
This Absolutely. Is amazing, and I'm like so proud that you took the leap. Like, that's amazing.
And you know, and
can we give her some claps? I want to give her some claps. Hold on. Sound effect, claps.
There you go.
As long as I don't need penicillin.
You're a strong, fucking beautiful woman. Girl, every vacation with us comes with a Z-pack, well, so don't worry.
Here's, well, at least these two.
Well, that's true. Here's what I have to say. Drea, it is admirable when someone literally can grab their life by the balls, no pun intended, and say, I am going to be who I want to be, and I have to be this person. And you know what? You deserve that. You deserve that because you've been through this journey in your life, and you said, you know, now it's my turn. I can begin to comprehend what it's like, for example, to say, I went through the whole gay experience and people telling me, well, you know, you don't fit here. You don't fit here. You're a drag queen, but you're not a drag queen. And you don't fit in. You might be able to perform well, but no, You'll never be a part of us.
Right. You know, and I even felt like that sort of exclusion when, I mean, I grew up in the gay community, but there were many, many times where I did not feel a part of the gay men that I was hanging out with, you know, and great friends. I mean, like family, but I always felt a little different. And I just thought I was crazy. And so many things kind of came together. Like I thought, okay, like, all right, it makes sense that like I didn't want to like, I don't know, but I couldn't relate to everything that everyone else seemed to get.
So, so can I ask you, well, let me just relay some information to you. Statistically, a lot of people that are transgender tend to take up certain work, certain jobs, certain things, and do certain things that are not really the best of professions.
Uh-huh.
What drove you to be the successful person that you are outside of what typically is normally known for someone who is transgendered? Transgender, specifically men who transition over to women, prostitution.
I'm 43. I mean, I didn't start my transition until I was 42.
Okay.
You know, I went to beauty school when I was 28. Before that, I was a drunk. So there wasn't much else going on. I worked in bars.
We're drinking. Trust me. We know the feeling.
We have.
But really didn't have anything else going on. I mean, I was transgender, so like there was no like, and I was living wrong. So there was no real drive, you know what I mean? But when I stopped drinking and went to beauty school, 9/11 happened.
Right.
And I thought, okay, the whole world just fell apart and I'm still complaining. Poor me, wants to be a hairdresser. So when you like turn to yourself and you say, okay, bitch, are you going to do something or not? Like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I went to beauty school and it was really kind of like interesting because, you know, early on, you know what it's like when you're hanging out with a bunch of queens and everyone's calling you she and her and bitch. You feel like a woman, you know, like there is no, you know, I didn't feel like I was hiding out.
But once you step outside of that element.
Yep.
It's not so much.
That's right.
It's funny.
Yeah, totally.
You know, I'm sometimes in meetings or whatever I'm doing and I have to literally hold back and not call certain people that I'm working with, or if I'm at a family function, certain people that I'm with, she or her, because they're not. Yeah. And they're like, why did he say that? I don't get it.
Yeah, I've done that. I've done that.
It's
where they look and they're like, why did you just call him she?
Yeah. Because that bitch is a she.
It slips out when I work at we all work at gay bars, and I also work at a seafood restaurant in East Haven, Connecticut. And every now and then, one of the cooks will like piss me off and be like, fuck her. And like, uh-huh. Everyone else will look at me like, did he just say her? I'm like, yeah, him. Fuck him.
So let me ask you. Obviously, we all have someone that help us, that usually helps us through our toughest times. Is there any organization or any individual that has helped you stay grounded throughout the entire process?
Oh God, there's many. There's many. I wouldn't say there's one in particular, but there's, I mean, the William Way Community Center here in Philadelphia. It's LGBT Community Center. There's,
Plug them, girl. Go.
Where
Plug
can they find them?
You know, they have, on Thursday nights, there's, it's called Trans Way. I attended that. It's like a discussion group. I did that for the first few months. The Mazzoni Center is like the big, medical center. It's amazing. They have like highly skilled medical professionals that like, you know, if you don't have health insurance, like you don't have to pay, you know, that kind of a thing. But it's not like a dirty clinic.
Can I ask you, is this a local program or is this something that is national?
No, it's local.
Local?
Philly, it's right? Local.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, my doctor, oh my God, he's been my doctor for like 20 years. He actually just merged his private practice with the Mazzoni Center.
Really?
And they have and they have amazing programs for, hormone replacement therapy. And they have regular physicians too. So you know, anybody can go.
You know, what's really crazy in Connecticut, we have a friend, I'm not going to mention any names, but he's married and his husband's a huge doctor, and he recently was appointed to run Obamacare in Connecticut. Mm-hmm. And his first task was to hire more doctors for the trans community. Because we have doctors that'll, in Connecticut, we have doctors that'll go from male to female, but we don't have any doctors that can do female to male. And that is his big thing for the first like 6 months, I think, that mm-hmm. he was working in this position, which I thought was amazing that was his first fucking task as running Obamacare in Connecticut.
Now a question.
Oh, that's cool.
A question for you, Trish. Is this a Malloy thing? Was our governor someone who kind of pushed forward on this, or was this from the federal government?
I'm going to be honest with you, and I cannot answer that question.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
Well, that's something that we're going to have to look up.
Yeah, right, totally.
That would be interesting. Make sure that we provide more information.
We'll just text him and ask.
Yeah, be like, yo, Dan, was this yo doing?
So, so let me ask you, Drea. So, you've gone through this process. This is very recent for you. What gets you through your day? What is the one source of happiness that says, you know what? I am who I am. I wake up. I'm a great person today. I'm going to keep going.
I didn't fuck up that haircut.
And by the way, feel free to plug your hair salon. Lord knows we've done it. And we'll continue to do it. So definitely.
Okay. Well, I mean, It's interesting. I mean, look, there's some days where, you know, the mirror tells me a different story, you know, in the beginning of the day. Before I'm ready to leave for work, I think, oh, God, like, you look like a fucking man. And then, like, by the time I get to work, you know, maybe a trash truck swerved and yelled, hey, baby, or I go on Facebook and I see, you know, other people dealing with their daily struggle. There's all kinds of different things that have helped me get through a day. And I mean, I haven't really had any, I mean, I've had down days like where it's like, oh God, like that was a long day. And maybe that was more like in the beginning, like just trying to like navigate through, you know, a different wardrobe, hair. I mean, I didn't have hair. But you know, like, and I tell people this, I tell everybody this, like, you know, if you are, you know, going through something like this, like build a solid support network. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you have those off days, you have several things that help get you through, like, don't depend on one person because people, you know, humans are fallible. Not everyone is always available. People move, people die. You know, people decide they don't want to hear it today. So
that's true.
And a big problem too in the trans community, and the gay community. I mean, like, you know, there's a high suicide rate.
Yeah.
We have dependency on alcohol and drugs. And that's what people are turning to. And what you're saying is don't. There are plenty of other resources out there.
Well, there's plenty of other resources. I mean, you know, lucky for me, like I dealt with the demons that were going to kill me, you know, almost two decades ago.
Right. Can we talk about those a little bit? Or
sure.
I mean, anything you want to throw out there. I mean, because the reason why I ask is because nowadays there are so many youth committing suicide and so many people that say, I don't have an option. I don't have a way out. How do I deal with this?
Move out of Arkansas.
Move out of
a red state. Move out of the Midwest.
That's a starter. But what do you do? Can you give us some examples of what they can say to themselves? Because I cannot pretend to know what it is that you're thinking,
right?
Or what they're thinking. Well, but you,
I
can.
Mean, the good thing about social media and all of the tools that we have to like plug into, you know, groups all over the world. I mean, you know, wherever it is you think you fit in, find it. Mm-hmm. And plug in and tell them who you are, you know, and if you're feeling like you're alone and just want to check out, you know, like tell somebody, like I said, if you build that solid network, there's people who you can tell. I mean, believe me, like I couldn't figure out why, you know, like I said, a successful, good looking middle-aged businessman wanted to kill himself every time life felt hard. It didn't make sense to me. I was no longer addicted to drugs and alcohol. I had a great job. I had all these friends. There was nothing wrong. You know, my therapist said, you don't have clinical depression. You may suffer from a low-level depression, but of course, why wouldn't you, considering, you know, just you know, what life has thrown? Nothing seemed so pressing that, you know, suicide seemed like an option every time the regular life struggles happened. But I have to tell you, since I've, like, come out and decided to live authentically, it hasn't come up, you know, and it's been over a year now.
So, you know, just on a lighter note, I'm going to ask you a couple random things. So first question is, so you're going through the transition. You've had a couple surgeries. Mm-hmm. Are you moving forward with the full transition? Because I know that there is, there's a group of people that, that keep their penis, for lack of a better term. I know that there's a group of people that are against that, and there's a group of people that are for that. It's interesting
I don't know of any groups. I mean, I know that, you know, people have their own ideas around that.
Right.
I can tell you that one of the things I've learned, and that was the other thing that came up in the 90s, they were, you know, it was automatically assumed that your genitals were what decided what your gender is.
Right.
And that if you were going to, you know, well, we didn't have the word, but if you were going to transition, that you were going to go, quote, have it chopped off.
Right.
Well, what people didn't realize was that, well, first of all, you don't have it chopped off. Second of all, you don't have to have gender reassignment surgery to live the other, you know, you are as your true self.
And there are
no rules here.
Right.
You know, so,
I think the biggest issue, though, with transgender is the reason people look at men and woman the way that they look at them is because when you're born, the doctor's like, oh, it has a penis, that's a boy. Oh, it has a vagina, that's a girl. And that's what you're stuck with unless you make the choice and are vocal like you are about who you really are and what you really have become as a person. So the stigma, I mean, for as long as anybody
knows. And that's why I think that's why I think it's okay if a questioning youth is questioning their gender, that they should have the right to have some kind of a choice in how they could live. Doesn't mean they have to be slapped on hormones,
right,
or have, you know, everything altered, but they should be allowed to go with what they feel is right.
Do you think that when you're born, you know, you're born male or female, do you think that there is a place where they hold off on saying what your sexuality or your, you know, what your sex is until you are of age to say, hey, I'm male, hey, I'm female. And then on your birth certificate, it's then noted that you are the sex that you are.
Well, look, when a hermaphrodite is born, the right. doctor says to the parents, what do you want this child to be?
And that's fucked up.
And the parents say, oh, it looks like more of a boy. So let it be a boy. And they make that child be a boy. You know, so it's kind of like the same thing.
You know? Yeah, you're completely right. I mean, I think that it's crazy because, I mean, if we look at history, I mean, even with gay people, transgender doesn't really matter. It's just there have been so many social statues that have been put in place that now we have to deal with as adults looking at this. And how do we change this? How do we make people look at this in a different way? And to me, I'm literally floored because every day I'm like, no, it's born a male or it's born a female. But then I have so many people in my life that are transgender, and it baffles me how we can just staple people this or staple people that. It's
Well, I think that what we're seeing now is just a part of evolution. We're evolving.
Right.
You know, and back to an earlier question, if I could,
please,
about gender reassignment surgery or not. A very good friend of mine who had gender reassignment surgery in 1972. She's actually a John Waters movie star. Her name's Elizabeth Coffey Williams. They hid her on the maternity ward at Johns Hopkins. She was part of a study, and they put her in with these mothers, these new mothers, and they told her, they said, we put you in your own room, and we've told the other mothers that your baby died, and that's why you're in here by yourself. So if they ask, this is the story. Like, that's what they told her to say.
Oh, my God. Right?
So, you know, a year before I was born, she had her surgery. And when I first began to transition, she said to me in the most delicate, effortless way, she said, and I want to just say this to you, that if you decide to have gender reassignment surgery, it's not going to be this big deal in your mind. She said, if it becomes time, it may be while you're getting dressed. You may say, oh, I'm ready. Or it may just be, you know, a beautiful spring day. You're going to wake up and say, you know what? I think it's time. She said, it's not going to be a big deal. She said, and that will mean that you are ready. She said, and you know what? You might not. She said, but that doesn't make you less of a woman. And I thought, okay, I'll take that.
And I've had conversations with several people. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No,
that fine. Say the same thing. They literally say, you know, the fact that I may have or still may have or may not have, my penis does not take away from the fact that I feel I am who I am.
Right.
And, you know, and when they say that, we're like, okay, well, that makes sense because, you know, you feel the being who you are is a feeling.
Yeah, that's
first
right.
First and foremost.
I feel like her point was like, don't overcomplicate this.
Right.
You're going to know. And you're going to know. The whole world may tell you one thing, but you know. Mm. You know? I mean, when I was that 7-year-old kid, I knew I was a girl.
Right.
Everyone else was telling me I wasn't. You know, it was the confusion all around me that put me on the life path that I went on. You know, if it were now, I think that I would have had a much different life. I don't have any regrets. You know, I'm glad things are the way they are. But, you know.
So at 7 years old, you knew truly who you were as a human being. And with all the, you know, the decades that passed and the more progressive we came as a nation, unfortunately, some setbacks were put into place. You know, we had the HB2 law just recently put in effect in the state of North Carolina, and the perhaps one of the largest upsets in the history of the United States of America, Donald Trump was elected to be the 45th president of the United States. We, as members of the gay community, you know, we're fearful of a halt in progress, let alone, you know, steps back. What is something that, like, people in the trans community are fearful of? Like, what halts do you have in your future that you feel that this administration is going to bring to you guys alongside with the fears that the gay community has to deal with?
Well, I mean, you know, there's so many things.
Of course.
One of the things that came up was like, you know, same-sex marriage being overturned. Well, you know, like my driver's license says female. Mm-hmm. My birth certificate says male, and it will continue to say male unless I have gender reassignment surgery. Mm-hmm. So if I wanted to be married, I mean, I can be married, but it would probably say same-sex. This is a same-sex marriage. Now, if they overturn that, that takes away my right to be married as well. That's a concern. A lot of the there's one law firm down here. We call her the Philly Gay Lawyer. Angela, I know I'm going to mess her name up. Angela Gambino, I think. She's doing complimentary name changes and helping, you know, trans people, like, you know, fast forward their process. You know, just to like get as much as you can get done now, just in case they start to reverse these laws or these rights, you know, that we have.
That's amazing that she's doing that, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great. It's so good.
If you could, would you send us her information so that we could
plug it?
Plug it.
put it on our website. This is someone that, you know, if you're in the Philly area and this is something that you're thinking about doing, this is someone that you can reach out to.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And with something that you just said, you know, I like to say on the behalf of Gay Talk 2.0, and I'm assuming, though I don't like to assume, that we were all opposed to Donald Trump. I will say that according to him, he has no plans to try to fight to overturn marriage equality. The thing that we're fearful of Mike Pence and his transition team and his cabinet, his people.
Yeah,
we're not so at this point. We're not so fearful of the marriage equality being overturned as much as these religious freedom laws and acts that can be put into place. So I think marriage equality is here to stay.
Right, but
we're not done fighting.
I do too.
I think that everyone's just afraid that, you know, we're going to be set back.
Yeah.
And then there's a possibility that, yes, things can be taken away that we're, you know.
Well, at the very least, halted.
I mean, here's the thing, we've already hit 700 total hate crimes. I mean, and this was a couple days ago that I saw this number. 700 in 2 weeks. So, so where are we going from that? I mean, if these religious freedom acts get put into place, it's only going to get worse. Yes, we have marriage equality, but what about the people that are getting killed? And what about the 26 people that died in 2016? The 26 transgender people that have been killed in 2016? Or the 21 that have been killed in 2015 just because they were transgender? Like, these religious freedom acts are only going to make it worse.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to fight. We need to stand. And I know we keep saying the trans community and the gay community, but we're one fucking community.
Yes, we are.
Drea, we love you. We're a community together.
We are a community together.
So, sorry. Right. This is what happens. I get heated
Trish
about
gets
things.
Going, when Trish gets going.
We got into this. Now it's time
like
to
one
swear
of those things where it's like, we have to just stay into action.
We do.
I mean, you know, like, what else are we going to do?
Believe in each other, love each other, and hope for the best.
Because let me tell you, it's serious times are coming. Serious times are coming. But to lighten things up, you know, listen, thank you, Drea, so much for really shedding a light on the personal feeling of what it's like to be. We can never imagine. I can't imagine. You know, I'm a gay man. Nick is a gay man, and you know, so is Chris. But we could never imagine what it is that you go through unless you speak to someone that goes through that.
Right.
You recently decided that you were going to be vocal about this. Obviously, someone actually reached out to you in your local media community wanting to do a story on you.
Oh, yeah.
Follow you. And you didn't know if you were comfortable with that. At first.
Oh, yeah. It was like, oh, my God. You know, the first thing I thought was, okay, is this about publicity for business? Mm-hmm. You know, because it's the fashion beauty editor of the Philadelphia Inquirer, who I have done several photo shoots, and she sourced me for you know, hair and makeup information. And I thought, is this going to seem like I'm doing this for publicity, you know, letting her write about the transition? Because I didn't need that. You know, and then it was the thought of, okay, is this going to destroy my business? You know, is this going to backfire and be like something really, is this going to be dangerous? You know, and then when I thought, you know what, like this is an opportunity to help somebody. That's when I said, okay, it's time. Like the answer is yes. And when the first article, there have been four articles and she's going to do one, like I think every 3 or 4 months for 2 years. But when the first article ran, one of my stylists, she texted me and she said, a young woman just left here. She had her hair cut. Her therapist said, go there and have your hair cut. It's safe. She's trans. She's transgender. Her therapist saw the article and said, go there. They won't hurt you. They won't be mean to you. They won't make fun of you. That's and amazing. I had to pull the car over. I mean, you know, dramatic, crying. I was just on hormones. Of course, I'm, you know. I thought, wow, okay, this is good. Like this, and I told the newspaper reporter. I said, I don't know if you understand this, but this is going to help save some lives, and it's going to impact a lot of people because you know they're going to have some awareness and like you know. Some kid may not have to get their ass kicked by their mother or father because they have an issue.
That's amazing. That is awesome. And let me tell you, we're extremely appreciative that you took the chance on putting yourself out there because you help so many people, and that's important. And so can you name the person? Is it okay for you to name the person who's doing the story on you?
Oh, yeah. It's Elizabeth Wellington. She's the fashion beauty editor of the Philadelphia Inquirer. And she's great. She's a trip, actually. And she writes some really good stuff.
Well, Elizabeth, thank you so much for you know, talking her into doing this, because not only does she help herself, because I can only imagine that this is a fantastic journey for you, but you help others. And as you said before, it's an amazing journey to go through. So thank you.
Yeah. Oh, sure. I'm having a blast. That bitch, she was like, I want to come over and, you know, hang out in your dressing room and take pictures of you down there. I said, you are not taking pictures of me down there. You know, but, you know, so
she was talking about down under, or, you know, just pictures of you down in the dressing room.
Down in the dressing room. I was like, you're not bringing that camera down there. You know, because it's like, you know, you always think your house is a mess, even if it's not, right? I was like, you're not fucking taking pictures down there.
Oh, fuck that shit. Are you kidding me? When I wake up in the morning and nobody is showing up in my house until my face is on, unless you fucked me the night before. I'm sorry. That's just how it is.
And even then, you better start running.
I was going to say,
it's not pretty.
And I can say, close your eyes when you wake up in the morning with that one.
Oh, what you can say? Like, you know?
I would just imagine.
It's like coyote ugly.
Fuck all
Well,
you.
She called me, it was last week, the middle of the week last week, and she said, you know, a makeup artist is late, or I don't know, didn't show up, and we need help. We need you to come. We need a makeup artist to come in and get this guy camera ready. It'll be really easy. Now, I had just woken up. I was making coffee. I'm like, you know, I mean, I wear hair pieces. I still have to shave my face. And I said, are you kidding me? I'm bald headed with a fucking beard. I'm not leaving this house. And she went, wait, you changed your mind? I said, no, bitch, I'm not ready. It's going to take me 2 hours. And she said, oh.
It takes me a while. You got to do it.
Yeah, I was like, I don't care. I was like, you got to work that out yourself. I can't help you.
So listen, so you're in the center of literally Center City, Philly.
Yeah.
Plug your salon, girl, because we're about to wrap up the show.
Okay.
And, so let us know, where can listeners, if you're in the Philly area, where can they find you? Where can they go and experience the Drea experience?
Okay. So we are located right in the heart of Center City. We're next to U-Bar. We're at 1218 Locust Street. The salon is called Andre Richards Salon. You can go online to AndreRichardsSalon.com and make your appointment there. There are 12 stylists. We do men and women, cuts and colors and makeup. And we're open 7 days.
7 days a week. What's the phone number there?
976. No, you guys are probably too young for 976. Do you remember 976 numbers?
We're not from Jersey. I'm sorry.
No, it was. They were in the back of every newspaper. It was like, dial 976. Fuck.
Are you serious? Oh, the sex lines. No, I.
Oh, well, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Google
it. Yeah, duh. Come on. I don't even know.
All right. All right. The phone number is 215-735-1590. And my dog's in the background going crazy.
Oh, we got to love
it's
the
like
dogs.
What the fuck's going on right now?
I have two of my own. I have two little Yorkies. What do you have?
She's a mix. She's a pit mixed with, I don't know what. She's a rescue, but she tries to go after the dog that lives up the hall from underneath the door.
Just like her mother.
Oh, crazy yeah, that's bitch. Right. Yeah. Digging at the door.
All right.
Well, listen, Drea, I want to thank you so much for calling in and really talking about your experience.
It's important.
It is Transgender Awareness Month, and we have a lot of youth, like we said before, that are really looking for any little bit of help that they can get, and the fact that you took the time to call us is just amazing. So thank you
anytime.
So, you know, we may reach out to you in the future, and we're gonna keep in contact.
Anytime,
for sure. Would love to meet you in person. Maybe I'll come get my hair done. Who knows?
Come get your hair, dude.
Lord knows she needs
it. We'll go to Pat's first, have some Philly cheesesteaks, and then head on over to
I want to go to Gino's.
You want to go to Gino's?
We went to Pat's last time. Okay. Those mushrooms
came. They're not real Philly cheesesteaks.
Okay,
thank you.
So we're going to get our hair cut, and then Drea's taking us to get a heat.
Pat's
get
mushrooms.
Yeah, we'll go.
Pat's mushrooms come out of a can.
Oh God! I did not approve of that. Philly cheesesteaks.
We just lost like 5 listeners.
We did. We lost all our 5 listeners from Philly.
they're like, fuck her. They're probably throwing a rock through the window right now.
No, listen. We'll come down and you take us to a really. Get us some really real cheese, like Philly cheesesteak.
A cheesesteak.
Real it. Philly cheesesteak.
And I'm sitting up front this time, Trish. Actually, Paul's gone, so I'll have the whole back to myself. You can sit up front.
Exactly.
Just don't walk up to order your cheesesteak there with your phone in your hand. They will tell you. They'll say, get off the fucking phone.
They should. I hate going up to tables with people on their phone. Be like, fuck her.
Get off the fucking phone. I was scared. I hung up on my friend. I just hung up.
I just want to eat something. Don't yell at me. Why are they yelling at me?
Well, listen. Well, honey, listen, thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts here at Gay Talk 2.0. We wish you much success, and we're going to keep in touch.
And thank you.
We appreciate you calling in.
Okay. Bye.
Have yourself a wonderful night. Bye.
Thank you.
And ladies and gentlemen, that was Drea Richard calling all the way from her salon, Andre Richard Salon, in the center of Philly, Center City. We love her. She's amazing. And the reason why we had her on the show is because, as we stated before, there's many choices that many people make. And unfortunately for the trans community, there's not that many... how would I say this without offending anyone?
There's not that many, you know, I mean, like, you look at the gay community, right? You have a lot of people that are out and proud and coming out consistently on a regular basis. You don't have a lot of trans representation in social media, in the Hollywood world, in any type of world. So these people, this community is coming from a place where they don't have that icon. We've had Elton John for how long?
For a long time.
Had people like that have stood up. We've had Melissa Etheridge. We have Ellen. There are people in our community that are strong and proud and trying to bring this stuff to light.
Right.
Right? They don't have that. And we have to hope that people like you, Tommy, you, Chris, me, Gay Talk, we bring people in and we get those voices out there like Ellen has been doing. Mm-hmm. Like Elton John has been doing, you know, all
well,
these
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No.
My thing is it's this. It's... The transgender women that I have known, for example, have either been working in prostitution or in some sort of sex.
A lot of them do.
They do. And
but I mean, there's nothing wrong with sex work, though.
Absolutely not.
It's the oldest profession.
There's nothing wrong with it.
And
but
there's fucking good money in it. I'm telling you, somebody offered me $17,000 last night to go home with them, and I was like, I'm gonna go home with him for $17,000. I would totally do it. Are you fucking? If somebody literally said, "Hey, I'll give you 17," what's on my face, Chris?
The other side. It's been bothering me.
No, but my thing is this. My thing is this. It's like you listen.
It's gone.
It's always fantastic to see someone that really breaks out of the ordinary for that particular group. You know, it's like when you see someone become successful, okay, you were a man before, you had your transition, you became a woman, and now you have a successful salon in the center of one of the busiest areas in Philly, and you're really doing it. And people are really looking up to you as someone that, you know, does something for the community that's positive. And I'm not saying that prostitution is negative in any way, shape, or form, because in Nevada, it's actually legal. It depends on where you come from. I'm just simply saying that, you know what? You don't have to resort to the norm. Be yourself. Find your niche. Your help me out.
Niche. But I don't even know if that's the norm, though. I know that
and do what you want.
Okay. There is a big niche for that, niche. But
we just came up with another word. Oh my God.
I don't necessarily think that that's the norm. But anyway, let's move past this because we've got to close out the show.
No, before we move on, I want to say for people in the trans community, you're never alone.
That's where I was going.
Yeah. Thank you.
And
there's a.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, there's a, you know, fantastic organization called Trans Lifeline. It's a 501c3 nonprofit dedicated to the well-being of transgender people.
Mm-hmm.
They run a hotline staffed by transgender people for transgender people. Trans Lifeline volunteers are ready to respond to whatever support needs are necessary. They're accessible 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
This is important.
Very much important. If you're in the U.S., you can call them at 877-565-8860. And if you're in Canada, you can call them at 877-330-6366. Remember, you are never alone. There is always someone out there willing to speak with you.
We could have done a meanwhile in Canada. You could have dialed this number. And we totally that missed that opportunity.
Well, I already thought about but I just wanted to get this point across before we moved along.
Just so you know, yesterday was Transgender Remembrance Day.
Yes, it was.
The 20th. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important. I know that I ranted earlier, but in 2015, there were 21 deaths because they were transgender, and already, and 2017 hasn't happened, we've had 26. So just keep in mind that there are sources out there, there are people out there, we are here, and we love you.
I lost my friend Luisa, actually, who was transgender, in a sense. She died a year ago due to some complications with her pancreas, and it was very tragic. You know, she was one of the first people that I knew. Okay. When I met him, he was still a boy girl. What's what I used to call him, you know, 15 years ago. And
that's not PC. I'm just going to go with that, but go on.
PC.
Politically correct.
Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't back then.
It's still not today.
And it's still not today, but that's what I called him. But here's the thing. Everyone in the world knew him as Luisa. I always called him Louie. You know, we were roommates for many years. He was always my Louie. No matter where we went, where we were, I was the only person that called him Louie. And he passed away. And one of the things that I learned from him, and I think I said this before, was that he had no fear. There was no shame in having no boobs, wearing a translucent shirt with big nails popping out. He's very androgynous.
I feel like it comes to a point. I mean, we have to wrap this up soon, but I feel like it comes to a point for anybody where you've been beaten down so much. Mm-hmm. You have been told you're not who you are so much. You've been harassed so much that you just don't give a fuck. And you're like, come at me.
But see, that wasn't her.
No, but that's what I'm... But at the same time, it's like, that community mm-hmm. has been repressed for so long that she was like, I don't give a fuck. Bring it.
And I will say this. If we've said anything that wasn't accurate throughout the show, we're three gay men. We know nothing of the transgender community. Mm-hmm. Feel free to send us a message.
I got a vagina in the back, but not in the front.
Well, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
She got one on her mouth, too.
Feel free to send us a message and let us know, hey, listen, guys, you were wrong.
That hit me in the fucking head.
Oh, these two are just going at it. Feel free to just, you know, just...
Don't throw things, Chris.
Chim in with us and send us a message and say, you didn't explain this right. This is how you should have said it. We'll be more than happy to clarify anything that you want us to clarify in the show, which is why we try to reach out to members of your mm-hmm. community and our community. Because let's face it, you as a transgender individual are a huge part of the LGBT community. Huge. And
I mean, they're the T.
Exactly.
They are the T.
They are the T. And we have to acknowledge that.
So before we close out the show, I just want to say something to you guys. Chris, Tommy, I love you. You're perfect. Now change your sexual orientation.
Oh.
Okay.
I also want to say something to the
group. Guys didn't even get what that's from? No?
What's that from?
That whole like Pence, Name a Pence musical thing.
Oh,
Sunday gotcha. At the Wall with Jorge. Come on, people. I love good. You. You're perfect. Now change.
It has the last name Pence on it, which is why.
Never mind. Anyway.
It was funny, and he found $5.
Chris.
No. Well, I just want to say, you know, during the break, I had to pee, and other than Trish offering to hold my penis for me.
She said no twice.
I declined, yes. So I'm washing my hands because I'm clean like that. And I turn the sink on and I go to grab the bottle of soap. Tommy's got a fucking bottle of Astroglide where the soap is supposed to be on his fucking sink. He's rubbing one off in the fucking sink. I was cleaner before I washed my
hands. It's literally like his Astroglide in this house is like find the Easter egg. Exactly. It literally is. It's like he hides it around the house, and every time I come in, I'm like, oh, it's by the computer. Oh, it's in the bathroom.
This isn't a bottle of Tito's in the freezer. This is a jug of Astroglide.
I had sex last night. Hello.
On the fucking sink where the soap goes.
And when you are in the middle of having sex and you need more lube and
you grab the soap by accident.
When you already have lube in your hand, you grab the bottle and then the bottle becomes slippery. So I took it to the sink to wash the bottle off so that it's no longer slippery for the next time that I grab my bottle to do my business.
Okay, but I almost spread that fucking vagina lube on my hands.
Let me just say, hold on, time out. Because I've never, ever wash my bottle of lube off. It's going to be slippery every time I grab it. Yeah, I know that. Too. I'm just going for it because every time I go for that bottle of lube, I'm like in the moment. And then I got to throw it back in the drawer and shut the drawer. I don't think about, oh, I'm going to take it to the sink and wash it.
No, I but let that Tommy, shit, like, slip between
Tommy's
my hands.
Like, Tommy's bending. I'm literally standing up, everybody, right now. Yeah. Tommy's bending over, taking it in the butt with the Astroglide. And he's like, oh my God, I got to wash this afterwards.
Exactly.
I
got
to put this in the sink.
He holds onto the sink and he's washing it during. He's like, he's getting fucked in the ass.
He has a door.
He's pulling the stove top.
Wait a minute, guys.
Off.
Wait, there's a door between
your bathroom and your bedroom.
Stop.
You know what you're doing.
Who says I'm getting fucked? Wait a minute.
Oh, so he has the person.
I'm pumping and I'm like, I gotta wash.
Down,
I gotta wash.
Head down. He's standing behind and he's got his hands over into the sink, not paying attention to who he's with. And he's just like washing it while he's.
He's got his bottle of lube in the sink. He's like pulling his fucking stovetop off and putting it in the fucking tub to rinse that shit off every time.
There are cameras.
We're done with lube talk.
Anyway, let's close this fucking show.
This is
show.
Gay Talk 2.0. The All right. Podcast. Not
yeah, that talk was actually incredibly gay.
Hey, Chris, why don't you take us out with our plugs? Let's start our plugs.
I guess. I suppose.
Yeah, we should.
Okay.
Yeah, we totally should.
The Hartford Gay Men's Chorus presents A Wish Come True, their annual holiday concert on December 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. For tickets, visit tickets.hgmc.org. Or you can also visit our website and click on the flyer on our page, which will direct you to the press release for the all... What the fuck?
For the all relevant
details about the show, Tommy, you drunk.
In parentheses, Nick announces.
No, wait, stop. Stop. He went ahead of me.
What? Bitch, you told me to close the episode out.
I told you.
Oh, yes. You're right. I did go ahead of you. Said about Patron.
I know it says not Patron. So we are officially on Patreon. And Patreon is a service that allows our subscribers to be a part of our success. Using the service, our listeners can actually help support the show with a donation of anywhere between $1 to $10. Whatever you want to do. If you donate $1.
It said 12.
17,000.
If you donate $1 a month, that's $12 a year. Really. I mean, that could help us substantially. Because think about it. One subscriber, two subscribers, $1 each. Multiply that by all the subscribers we have. That could be a lot of help. Anyway. Using the service, listeners can pledge a monthly donation of any amount suitable for their budget. And if you're interested, you can literally visit our website and you can click on the Patreon link right on our homepage. Chris already went and did his. Now, Nick.
Usually I go first.
Your turn.
Matthew just sent me a message on Tinder. But anyway, Nick announces, special congratulations to Miss Lucia Virginity.
Yay!
We had her on the show. She's wonderful. We love her. Lucia, along with Michael Winslow, were voted 2017 Emperor and Empress for the Imperial Sovereign Court of all Connecticut.
Yeah, make sure it's all of Connecticut. Hey, listen, guys, a huge thank you to Drea Richard for joining us and in celebrating Trans Awareness Month. We hope that her story, her journey, and her road to success may serve as an example to all that is possible, even when you're in dire circumstances and you're looking to find yourself. So that's always very, very, very important. Our trans brothers and sisters are a huge part of our community and play a significant role in our community as well. So let's be the change that we want to be in the world. And in order to do that, we have to be and see and partake and physically just do what we need to do to be that change. So, Chris?
Be the change you want to see in the world.
Exactly.
Jawohl. Yes.
Except that I just wanted to just dig in and just be everything. Mm-hmm. Everything.
Christopher?
Are we going to do some plugs?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So, yeah, we're going to go ahead. Our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com/show-episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces.
Why do you do that? I'm going to remove that.
No, you're not going to remove it.
You're going to remove that like Trish.
So Tommy writes the plugs every week, and he literally has Chris announces, Nick announces. And so I feel like I need to say, Nick announces. And I'm going to.
Yes, queen.
Fine. Trish announces.
Thank you.
You can find us on social media, bitch. Facebook. Facebook.com/GayTalk2.0. Instagram. @GayTalk2.0. Twitter. @GayTalk20. Email. You can email us at GayTalk2.0@gmail.com, but you really don't have to anymore because Tommy hooked up our website. Tommy, tell us all about it.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Tom announces, being that we're going there.
Like the pie.
You can also contact us by visiting our website at GayTalk20.com. Contact us. Where you
dash
can.
Us.
It doesn't matter. Really, actually, if you just type in /contact, the rest will come up. Or just go to our website. Go to the top. Is it left or right? Right-hand side and just click contact us. It's there. It happens. It's magical. It just brings you to another webpage where you can just send us all of the following. You can leave a comment and a suggestion. You can submit a question for the cast and or an individual host. You can also leave us a question via voicemail for the cast to answer on the show by calling 334, that's the area code, Gay Talk. Or if you want the numbers, that's area code 334-429-8255. And with that...
What the fuck was that?
Well, speaking... Wait, hold on. I know we just did the plugs, but speaking of people that contacted us, we did have somebody that contacted us, and we do want to address it. I don't think we have time today.
Let's just do it.
Oh, you want to do it?
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's just do it. I think that it's well-deserved. We have to find it, though.
Y'all just sent it.
Oh, yeah, I did. No. I have it here. Okay, so his name is... Wait, he we know his name, but he wanted to actually be called by an alias. His name is Sweet Sausage Gravy.
I can't wait to eat it.
Okay.
Slut.
So to Sweet Sausage Gravy, he wrote the following. Hey, cast. I just wanted to write in for some advice about moving. So I am 24, and I live in the Midwest, Arkansas. I lived in the Midwest, Arkansas for most of my teenage adult life. I'm thinking about relocating to the West Coast. And I was wondering what advice you guys might have about settling into a new place where you don't really know anyone. The first thing you need to do is go to a gay bar.
Yeah. I'm going to take the first part of this.
Go to the Castro.
Because I moved here from Massachusetts 4 years ago, and I have created the best group of people. I've honestly felt so at home since I moved to Connecticut, because what I did, I got a place. Mm-hmm. I went to a gay bar.
We're good.
And I literally forcibly, John Lepper... Sorry, I'm throwing him under the bus. I said his name. I forced myself on him one night, and he took me out, and he took me around, introduced me to 1,000 people, became one of my closest friends. I can't wait to see you when I go to Fort Lauderdale. And now I have a great social network. I work at a gay bar, and I know so many people. So literally, if that's your scene, if you like to go out to gay bars, if you like to meet that social crowd, go to a gay bar, be your flamboyant self, or not. And meet that person that's going to take you to the next level, take you to the next part of your life.
Right, and it helped me too. I moved out of my hometown. I refused to be one of the many people that never left the town of Windsor Locks. And I turned 18, and I said, bye! And I moved down to Northford and started a life in the New Haven community. And yeah, here I am, living in my own.
I mean, it's the same thing for me. It's like, you know, I was born in New Haven, and I came here, and... I came out of my mom's vagina, and I came out into the world, and I was like, fuck, this is great. Small town. I love New Haven. It's great. No, fantastic. No, but listen, in all seriousness, go to a gay bar, find the person that's, you know, that you can relate to, have a couple of drinks, and don't feel afraid to experiment and go out and see what's out there. Mm-hmm. The West Coast is beautiful. Let me tell you, California, I fell in love with California. If I could right now, if it wasn't for my family, I'd be in California.
Bullshit. If it wasn't for the podcast.
Yeah. I can do the podcast from California, and I would love for you guys to come with me. But let me tell you,
Southern drop us like a fly.
In a heartbeat. No, but Southern California is beautiful. It's amazing. Listen, just do it. Just go. Don't neglect yourself from the opportunity of being on the West Coast and having a fantastic time. Just do it. Just go. But he also said, P.S., I am not sure if Chris already talked about how he went about setting up his study abroad in Germany, but if you have any program recommendations or general information on that as well, I appreciate it. And Chris, enjoy your trip.
Well, you know, I have not gone yet. I leave January 4th. I'll be studying from January 9th to February 2nd. I'll be studying at the Goethe Institute. It's not part of a university. It's a world-renowned German institute. You can find all the information on the course that I'm taking, which is a four-week intensive immersion class at www.goethe.com.
Yes,
or,
queen.
Yes, queen. I know I got that right. Or .de, but .de will be in German, so go .com. And you can find the course that fits you. They have them across Germany, Austria, Switzerland. They have them in New York and California, but I recommend, and I have not done it yet, so I'll give you my full advice when I come back, but I recommend if you're really interested in learning any language, whether it be German or not, immerse yourself. Go to the country of origin for your target language. You would not get the same effect in New York as you would where I'll be in Munich.
Beyond language, though, study abroad.
Yeah, study abroad.
Learn different cultures. Open your mind.
Absolutely.
Spend the time there.
Yeah.
When you wake up and you walk outside, you know, you got to find the fucking bathroom. You're like, well, where's the Badezimmer?
Like, they're like, that's not a word.
Yeah, exactly. So just go to that website, check it out. I've heard it's a great thing, and I'll be sure to let you know personally how my experience is there. Dom?
Fantastic. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to wrap up the show. We're going to thank our sweet sausage gravy for sending us an email. Ladies and gentlemen, that is our show. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
I love bourbon.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.